ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 13. Correct. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam kalevaram Kalajavena Hitva Kirtim Vishuddham Sudaloka Gitam. Bitaya Mam Ishasi Muktabandha Bhogena punyam kushalena papam Kalevaram kalajavena hitva Kirtim vishuddham sudaloka dhitam Vithaya mam ishasi bhukta bandha Bhogena punyam kushalena papam Kalevaram kalajavena hitva Kirtim vishuddham sudaloka gitam Vithaya mam ishasi mukta bandha Bhogena punyam kushalena papam Kalevaram kalajavena hitva Kirtim vishuddham sudaloka gitam Vithaya mam eshasi mukta bandha Bhogena, by feelings of material happiness. Punyam, pious activities or their results. Kushalena, by acting piously. Devotional service is the best of all pious activities. Papam, all kinds of reactions to impious activities. Kalevaram, the material body. Kalajavena, by the most powerful time factor. Hitva, giving up. Kirtim, reputation. Vishuddham, transcendental or fully purified. Sudaloka Gitam, praised even in the heavenly planets. Vithaya, spreading all through the universe. Mam, unto me. Ishasi, you will come back. Mukta bandha, being liberated from all bondage. Translation by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body. But the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home, back to Godhead. Jai. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Shri Nrisimhadev ki jai. Purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Evam praladasyangshena sadhana siddhatvam nitya siddhatvam cha naradhadvijajyayam. There are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also a nitya siddha, because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kushalena is very important. One should live in the material world very expertly. The material world is known as a world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes has to act piously. Although one does not want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger. Padam padam, yad vipadam. Thus, even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord, so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of papa punya, pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is jivan mukta. He is liberated even in this very life, in the material body. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's purports are so crystal clear. Sometimes when I finish reading, I think, what am I going to say after that? But anyway, on his order, we have to say something, so we'll try to say something. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karurivachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Namashreshtamanum Apisachiputram Atrasarupam Rupam tasya gajim urupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivadamaho radhika madhavasam Prapto yasya patita kripiya chigurun tannatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaudavani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatadane Manchikau Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chi Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hantaya Madhulabala Haridasya Bharyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat Paniyasuya Vasakandana Kandamulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Napadadi Nakaschana Padi Hare Pilajjame Kim Bruve Purushottama Yuvatinam tata yuni yunam cha yuvatao yata Mano vidabhati tadvam Mano me ramatam twayi Bhumau skalita padanam Bhumyadeva balambanam Twayi jata padadanam Twam me vasharanam prabho Govinda balabe radhe pratye tamaham sada Tudiyam iti janatu govindomam twayasaha Radhe vrindavanadishe karunamitavahini Kripaya tavaparabja dasyam mayam pradiyatam Hare Krishna. So, Nrisimhadev is giving Prahlad Maharaj benediction, and not just any benediction. He's giving him the ultimate benediction that he will be able to return to the spiritual world at the end of his present life. And yesterday we read this verse. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the super soul existing in the heart of everyone's heart, in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. So this is an instruction, you see. This is a clear instruction. Do this. And then he says, While you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reaction to pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. So this is the situation. The Lord's mercy and His blessings, they come in the form of His instructions. There's a sentence in Srila Prabhupada's purports of the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says that the Bhakti Lata Beach, he defines the Bhakti Lata Beach to be the instructions given by the spiritual master, the following of which results in perfection and one's returning back to the spiritual world to enjoy with Krishna his original position, his original relationship in loving service. But while we're in this material world, even when we are perfect in the sense that we know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and are engaged in devotional service wholeheartedly, by nature of the material world, by the nature of the laws that govern the material world, one inevitably must come in contact somehow or other, even if not willfully, with pious and impious activities. Especially in Kali Yuga, we're talking here Satya Yuga. This is the Satya Yuga, and he's telling him this. You know, what to speak of Kali Yuga, where you just, you know, open your eyes in the morning and you know, everything that bombards you when you go out the door and walk down the street and go to buy something at a store or something, you just get bombarded with so much sin. It's practically impossible to avoid being, you know, some of it sticking on you. It's like they have that saying, the tar baby, you know, you touch the tar baby and you get tar on you. Prabhupada used to say, when you go and kill a skunk, you know, the smell gets on your hand. You may not intend it. You may be doing something good. You may be trying to relieve others from some, you know, abominable, you know, situation. But, you know, even the devotees in this material world, we have to act in this material world and we have to experience different things. See, even the perfected devotees. We were fortunate enough to be present in the room when Srila Prabhupada left this world, you know, a perfect, liberated, eternally liberated person. And it was a difficult thing. Internally, of course, Srila Prabhupada was fixed. Even at the end, he was always preaching and always in the same consciousness. The same words were coming out of his mouth, exactly the same. But the vehicle, due to being constructed from this material nature, the vehicle, he couldn't speak it, you know. It was like the words were the same, but they were very weak. You had to put your mouth right next to the ear to hear. So when we hear in this purport that, you know, Prahlad Maharaj was, you know, partly, you know, Nitya Siddha and partly Sadhana Siddha, our brains, you know, our linear thinking intelligence trained, and especially in the West, we're trained in this linear thinking. It's either black or it's white. It's either true or it's false. It's either this or it's that. So when we hear something, it's this and it's that. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is partly liberated, eternally liberated, and partly perfected being from practicing in this world devotional service. We say, oh, how is that? How is that? And we become confused, and sometimes we even doubt comes into our mind, and from that doubt comes weakening of faith, and from that weakening of faith comes a lack of strength in our spiritual practices, a lack of wholeheartedness in our hearing, and then we become weak, and then we fall again into the material pool, being neither Siddha Nitya or Siddha Sadhana. We end up becoming again, you know, entrapped and ensnared in the material nature. So Nrisimhadev is here giving Prahlad Maharaj benediction that you won't become ensnared. You know, even though you're going to experience things in this material world, you won't become ensnared because I'm giving you this benediction. You know, I'm giving you an instruction. And he's also giving him the benediction that he could follow the instruction. Now, this is up to us. This is where the free will comes in. You see? When we're in the material world, we become under the laws of material nature. Krishna explains this very clearly in the Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma kartahamitamanyate. He said, the bewildered soul under the influence of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities which are actually being conducted by the material nature. So that verse explains predestiny. And if you take it just that verse without any other verse, you may think, oh, I'm predestined to be like this or predestined to be like that, so what use is there to try even? I'll just go along and, you know, whatever happens, happens. And that's what happens. People take one verse out of context and they don't take the whole philosophy. And then they think there is no free will. And whatever Krishna, you know, when we preach in India sometimes, we please come to the temple if Krishna wants. Please come do that. If Krishna wants, Krishna is doing everything. If Krishna wants, and they won't respond to your invitation. They won't respond. This is a very important point, because we need to preach. Srila Prabhupada is asking us to get to this Siddha platform. We have to become advanced. And what do we advance from? We advance from the conditioned state to the neophyte state, to the medium state, and to the Siddha state, or to the advanced state. All of us, we have to advance. I was just listening this morning while I was doing my exercise. Srila Prabhupada was discussing how we must advance. And how do we advance? We advance by preaching. We advance by preaching. We advance by doing something positive, proactive, to show Krishna, you know, just how faithful and how much we love him. And the best way to do that, according to Krishna, is to try to explain this secret of the Bhagavad Gita to others. Nothing pleases Krishna more. This is the way to please Krishna the most. That doesn't mean that we all have to, you know, don a saffron cloth and, you know, try to figure out how to go all around the world and preach and give, you know, lectures like this and all of this. That role is only for few. Not everyone can do that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we're the only ones, the sannyasis who travel and preach, are the only ones that can preach. We're the only ones that know. This is an adjustment of a mentality. It's an adjustment, an internal adjustment that we have to go through, each and every one of us, no matter what our positions are in society, even within our movement. I was just talking with Mahadev, that humble soul, that great soul, you know, who's been in this movement for a long time, performing devotional service, steady like a rock, you know, and he was coming up to me saying, "Oh, Maharaj, I'm, I said, "No." You know, I said, "Jesus Christ said, the meek shall inherit the earth." The ones that will still be standing, they're the ones that will still be standing, or the ones that are dutiful and clear and without doubt and engaged in devotional service, and who try to preach, who try to bring the conditioned souls who are suffering for a lack, for a want of Krishna consciousness into this atmosphere. So we shouldn't be confused about these apparent contradictions, that Prahlada Maharaj was partially Nitya Siddha and partially this and that. These things are beyond material conception. The laws of nature in the spiritual world are different. You know, in the spiritual world, one minus one is equal to one, Srila Prabhupada said. One plus one is equal to one. We can't, well, no, one plus one is equal to two. You know, one minus one is equal to zero. No, that can't be, because we're under the laws of material nature, and we've accepted it. We've accepted it from authority. One plus one is equal to two. You know, we've accepted it. We didn't challenge in our first grade, you know, no. Teacher, dear teacher, you know, one plus one. Why not three? You know, why not five? Why not? You don't get the grade, you know. You don't get the grade, and you don't go on to the second grade, and you don't, you know, progress in life. But we're all, you know, like now we're in spiritual life, and anybody says this, and we say, "Well, no, I don't know. It could be this. It could be, you know, I don't know. You know, who are you to tell me what to do?" You know? Right? And on and on and on and on. So there's danger in this material world. This material world is a dangerous place. It is certified by Krishna. You know, dukhalayam ashaswatam. It is a temporary place, and it is full of misery. I was talking with Vaish, and we were analyzing the potential that the body has for giving pleasure and the potential that it has for giving pain. If you put them on a scale, you know, the potential that it has for giving pleasure is very little compared to the potential it has to giving pain, you know. You may get a flash of pleasure every once in a while, you know, if you're lucky, you know, organize yourself so that you can, you know, like avoid, you know, the heat wave, or avoid the cold snap, or avoid the lover's quarrel, or avoid the whatever trouble you have to take to, to do the results of your, you know, activities in this world. You know, you may get a flash, little flash, but, you know, moment to moment, you know, the toe hurts, or the eye hurts, or the throat hurts, or it's too cold, or it's too hot, or it's too this, or it's too that, or the kids won't do what I want, or the husband won't do what I want, or the wife won't do what I want, or the authorities won't do what we want, or, you know, we go through life struggling because that's the nature of this material world, and that's not going to change even when you become liberated. This is his point. This is the point that Nrisimhadeva is trying to make to Prahlad Maharaj. Yes, I know you're going to stay in this material world for some time, the rest of this lifetime, but I'm telling you that by acting piously, you know, and by tolerating the reactions to your impious, by being, what does it say here? You will exhaust the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. Now, I touched on this point yesterday, you know, that austerity of the mind, the first one on the list in the translation of the verse 17:16 of the Gita, says satisfaction is an austerity of the mind, because it's very, very easy to be dissatisfied and it's very difficult to be satisfied. And I wanted to elaborate on this point a little bit because I didn't yesterday, and I don't want to mislead anybody. This satisfaction that comes from austerity is not a self-complacency. It is not a level of satisfaction that causes you to be self-complacent, that, oh, now I'm satisfied so I can stay in the same place, I can stay in the same position. I don't have to be proactive. I don't have to, you know, fight. I don't have to go forward. I don't have to battle the material energy. No, that is inherent in the material world. It is inherent in the material body. You cannot avoid it. And this is another angle of vision that Lord Nrisimhadeva is saying to Prahlad. Don't worry about that. You be happy. Even when you come in contact with things that are impious, don't be disturbed. Don't be unhappy. You know, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the whole first section from the first instruction, Natvam Shochita Marasi, don't lament. It's the same instruction. You know, be happy. Don't lament over the birth and death and all these things that are happening, because they're temporary. You know. And he says it many times in that first few verses of the instructions. You know, not to lament. Be equal in happiness and distress. You know, don't be swept away with lamentation when something bad happens. Don't become swept away with jubilation when something good happens. Because the next moment it'll turn to something else. And you'll always be in this roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, the actual thing that you're looking for, the actual perfection that's being discussed here, will evade you. It will escape you. Therefore, Shankadeva is giving this instruction clear to Prahlad Maharaj. You know, he's liberated. He's been touched by the hand of the Lord. If you are fortunate enough to be actually touched physically by the hand of the Lord or his incarnation, then you are liberated immediately, no question. When people saw Lord Chaitanya chanting and dancing, just by seeing him, they became liberated immediately. And pure representatives of Lord Chaitanya, we were fortunate enough to meet one, Srila Prabhupada, not just an ordinary pure representative of Krishna, but one that was extremely empowered, you know, as we spoke about yesterday a little bit, you know, to do something that no one else has ever done before, and no one else will ever do before, because you can only do it once. That is real unique devotional service. Only, not just liberated, or whether you were siddha, whether you're nitya or sadhana, this level of perfection is beyond anybody who tries to put himself on the same platform as Prabhupada, you know, coming to the West and thinking they're doing the same thing. Sorry, no offense intended to anybody, but Srila Prabhupada did something no one else could do. And we put him in that position, therefore he was very, very careful that we have his Vyasa-san in the temple room, and that his name and his title as the founder Acharya is very clearly maintained and preserved in the movement, you know, because, you know, he's more than guru. more than just Mahabhagavat, more than Nitya, more than Uttama. He's empowered. And only a few, only a handful of people in the history of our Sampradaya are in that category, you see. And still, we had to see him. We had to watch his body deteriorate to the point where there was no flesh on the bones. And he was, the doctors told, I was in the room when the doctors told us, an ordinary person could not have maintained himself in the body in that condition. The pain would be, you cannot imagine the pain that he would be feeling. And he stayed there, you know, and he showed us by his practical example how to leave the body and how to be happy under all circumstances. Therefore it says here, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously you will neutralize impious activity. So we have to give up both pious and impious activity in this world in order to attain perfection. And how do we do that? We already discussed, we can't avoid impious, or we can't avoid suffering in this material world. We can't avoid the happiness and the distress and all these things that happen. Krishna never says it. He never says, okay, now you're my devotee, now you won't have any happiness and you won't have any distress in this material world. He says, sukha dukkha se me kritva, labha labha jyajyo. And there's many verses like this where he says this. Samadukha sukham dinam, somitatvaya kapta. You have to be equal. Samadukha sukham dinam. Sama means equal. Dukkha means distress. Sukha means happiness. And we're thinking, oh, now I'm renounced, so I'm free from... So, no. He said, sannyasyastu mahabaho dukkha yona evate. Sannyas, renunciation, that's a source of suffering. You don't believe me? Try it. Go ahead. You think you're going to be free from suffering because you've taken sannyas? Forget it. And then later in the same chapter he says, yehi sang sparshaja boga dukkha yona evate. Sense gratification, that's also a source of suffering. Yeah, it's interesting. You've got the fifth chapter, you can look it up and read it for yourself. These two verses, sannyasastu mahabaho dukkha yona evate. If you renounce without devotional service, it's a simply suffering. And if you engage your senses in sense gratification, now, without devotional service, it's also, you know, a source of suffering. So we come back to that verse. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma kartahamita manyate. We're mudha. We're foolish. We're influenced by false ego if we think that, you know, we are the doers. Krishna is the doer. The material nature is the doer. But what is the next verse? Huh? Somebody remembers. Tattvavittu mahabaho. This is the next verse. Tattvavit means the knower of the truth. Vit means to know. Tattva means the truth. Tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo. Guna guna shivartanta iti matvana sajjate. Those who are actually in the truth, those who have heard the truth, and you can't get this except from hearing from someone who's outside of the pious and impious reactions of the material world. You can't get this truth in any other way. Those who know that, those who have the truth, who have heard the truth, they see the difference between sense gratification and devotional service, and they choose devotional service. So you have two verses, one after another, one of which says you're destined to, you know, to do, to be to predestiny. And the next verse says there's free will. So these things are happening simultaneously. Predestiny and free will. And it requires spiritual intelligence to understand it. Just as it requires spiritual intelligence to understand how a person can be partly nityasiddha and partly a sadhana siddha. Krishna's energies are inconceivable, and Krishna is inconceivable. So the secret of advancing in devotional service is to accept Krishna for what he is, without manipulating, you know, with our own imperfect intelligence, and surrendering fully, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashraya asamshayam samagrammam, without doubt. Yata gyasya si tachjanu, then you will know everything. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama. Krishna says again in the 15th chapter, if you know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, sasarva vit bhajanti mam sarva bhavana bharta, you will know everything. Because that is the conclusion of knowledge. And once you actually accept that fully, without doubting, without hesitation, then whatever you need to know will be available to you by hearing from Krishna. So when we're in this position, we're so fortunate we cannot calculate our good fortune. And what do you do when you get such good fortune? What must you do? You must share it with others. This is the difference between Mahatma and Kripana. The Kripana doesn't know how to utilize the gains that come from work or fortune or whatever. There's that famous story of Scrooge, you know, the character, the Dickens character, Scrooge. He was very rich, but he just kept it all. And he looked at it and ran his fingers through it and said, oh, I'm so rich, oh, you know. And meanwhile, you know, people were suffering and he had money and somebody had nothing and he didn't give. So here, Nrisimhadeva is saying, your glories will be sung in the upper planetary systems and all through the universe. Why? Because you're my pure devotee. And you will be acting properly under all circumstances, even in the greatest difficulty. You have done this. In the greatest difficulty, you did not waver. You kept thinking of me. You thought of me, even in the greatest difficulty. This is the secret of spiritual life, and it's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, and it's the conclusion of all Shastra. If you live in this world and learn the art of thinking about Krishna constantly, you will be untouched. There's this famous purport in the 9th chapter of the Gita. It says, Chipram bhavati dharmatma shashvach chantim nigachtiti kontiya pratijanihi nami bhakta pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. This is a great purport, and I'm going to read it out for about the 100th time in this temple room because it's so good. I like to hear it again and again. Purport. This should not be misunderstood. In the 7th chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of a Lord. One who is not a devotee of a Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? You see? Here, that duality is reconciled. This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the 7th chapter, who never come to the devotional service of a Lord, have no good qualifications, as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the 9 kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. This is exactly what Lord Nrisimhadeva is telling Prahlad. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here, there is no such condition because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee. Due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. It's so charming, Srila Prabhupada's words, without stoppage. This will protect the devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. We'll stop there. Questions, comments, corrections, chastisements. Yes. She has a question about the translation. It says that Lord Nishingadev says that Chew boy, that's what I've been trying to do for the whole class. I didn't get it. Didn't get there. Counteract material activity, impious activities by happiness. Pious activities by happy. Yes, because it means that one has to be steady in pious and impious activities. That's what it means. We can't take that sentence out of context from the rest of the purport, which says, "You will and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activities." So it's not just by smiling, you know, through it all, that it's going to change. You have to act piously, also. In other words, we have to reject impious activity. I'll read it again so you get the whole context. My dear Pallad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. So the actual exhaustion of the reactions of pious activity is coming from acting piously. And from acting piously, you feel happiness. So it's not directly the smiling or the feeling of happiness that neutralizes the activity, but it is a symptom of one who is acting piously, and that impious activity neutralizes the pious activity. But he's saying, as in the sixth chapter, in sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it also says that the prayaschitta is not does not work. You can't just neutralize an impious activity just by pious activity, because what happens is even when you do, then the modes of nature force you again to act impiously, and then you get caught in this chain of impious, pious, impious, pious. So he's giving him the benediction, basically, that he'll be able to act piously even in the midst of the impiety, and he will rise above the impiety by that pious activity. But that's what he's saying, that's how you live in the world, you know. But what makes you rise above the whole thing is remembering me, is devotional service. By being fully free from all bondage, you will return back home, back to Godhead. You can't return home back to Godhead unless you're fixed in thinking of Krishna. So the point is, and there's a nice verse. I can remember it in old age. Indriyas yarate ragadvesho vivasti tao tayor navasham agachet taoyasya padipantino. There Krishna tells Arjuna that there are rules and regulations to regulate pious and impious activities or pious activities, but one should not come under the control of those regulations, because that is also a stumbling block. In other words, the pious activity is also a stumbling block. The reactions to pious activity, material happiness, is also a stumbling block. So one has to become free from both pious and impious activity. And the way to do that is to perform pure devotional service. And the way to do that is to constantly think of Krishna. And the way to do that is to learn who Krishna is, to hear who Krishna is, so that one's conviction of who Krishna is grows and grows to the point where you can't do anything but think of Krishna, because you know you're completely dependent on him. And he's the most wonderful. And he has all the goods. You know, he's the only one that has all the goods. He's the only one that can respond to your needs and provide whatever you need. What to speak of the pure devotional service or love for him. So we shouldn't get confused about this pious and impious and how this is going to happen, because, you know, one thing leads to another. No one can live in the world and do all pious activities. Like we were saying in the beginning of the class, inherently there's impiety. You must come in contact with it, even if you don't engage in it yourself. Like here we are living in America, and we're, you know, hey, we're trying to be nice guys. We're Americans, you know, fair play and all this. But the economy is just now crunching us all. And, you know, the results of the group reactions of what's going on is causing, you know, chaos in the weather and the, you know, things, and you can't, like, avoid that, you know. You can't avoid those things, the reactions to impious activities in this world. So we act pious, and therefore we stay above the fray and feel that by that happiness that comes from that, you see. But at the same time, we have to stay there and not ourselves again be engaged in impious activity. Therefore, he says, I'll read it again, just in case my words haven't caught it yet. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home, back to Godhead. Full Krishna consciousness is above pious and impious activity. It can be done from any position. Therefore, we should always think of Krishna. We should chant Hare Krishna all the time and conduct our activities as best we can in piety. Is that okay? Okay, I got to stop now because my knees are starting to give out. And my voice, I just blew out my voice this morning. My voice was very strong when I came here, and I have to do this audiobook. I'm doing this audiobook, and I need my voice to be perfect, and I just blew it out. Hare Krishna. So if I have to really monitor this to be able to get the work done that I have to get done to do the correction, so that this audiobook of Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita can come out. You know, otherwise it's going to take another year, and I have to do it here while I'm here. So I don't know what that means exactly. I'm just saying, if I'm not here every day, you know, to give the class and to lead the kirtan, please forgive me, because it means I have to preserve my voice to do this work for the BBT. But I will be here as much as I can, with your blessings. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hari Krishna.